This is a regular meeting of the Grants Pass City Council. For the record, today's date is January 4, 2023, and the time is 7 p.m. This meeting is being held in the Grantsville City Office located at 429 East Main Street, Grantsville, Utah, and on Zoom. I'm Mayor Neil Pitslow, and four council members are present, with Councilman Hutchin asking to be excused. I've asked Councilwoman Allen if she would lead us in the pledge of allegiance.
Will you please repeat with me the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, our first order of business tonight is a public hearing on the amended budget. Is there anybody here that would like to speak on towards that? Seeing none, we'll move on to item two. Public comment. Is there anybody with some public comments that you would like to make tonight? Anything on Zoom? No. Nobody wants to talk to us. Damn. Okay, seeing no one for that, then we're going to item number three, approval of summary action items. The minutes from the regular meeting and the work meeting held on 12/21/22, and approval of the bills.
There was comment last time, just so you know, Joel, that we weren't as observant as you. So we hope that in the last meeting you were able to do this well.
That's good. I have no worries in that way.
So hey, on the talking the bills as well?
Yeah, you bet.
So I know we had talked about the 550 crew cab. So we were able to get a chassis then?
Yes.
That's good.
Getting them finished right now.
We're just equipping them, waiting for the parts to come in.
I didn't know we'd be able to get one so quickly, so.
Well, yeah, that was a little late, actually, but we're good.
But still, I mean, just walking out there, I knew all the trouble we had with that so no,
that
I'm surprised.
That was supposed to be here in October, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the waiting for all the parts to
frustrating. The two brush trucks that we have are a 92 and a 97, bless you. 92 and 97, and with these two as an addition, plus that military truck that we have, which I think they're afraid to let me drive that, actually. So that's next comment. So. Okay. Any other questions?
Mayor, I move that we approve the summary action items.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
So is that
abstaining?
Yeah.
Councilwoman Allen is abstaining. Okay. Okay, item number four, presentation of the 2022 fiscal year audit.
Okay. My name is Steve Rowley. I'm from KNC CPAs, and we help out the city get ready for their audit. The auditor, Ron Stewart, I believe, will be joining by Zoom.
I believe he's on.
Oh, that's on. Okay. So I'll just run through a few highlights. If you have a copy of the report in front of you, there's just kind of a few highlights I wanted to touch on. So the first thing that is new this year is what is called GASB 87. So Governmental Accounting Standards Board Statement Number 87 is all about leasing arrangements. And so that was in effect for fiscal year 22, which we had to implement. So in that instance, we did have a few lease receivables that we needed to recognize, as well as several lease payables that we had to recognize. So the concept behind this lease is just to, I guess, be more transparent in terms of leasing arrangements and showing them as assets or liabilities on the books as appropriate, as opposed to before then, there were things that we would call operating leases, which didn't meet the definition of a lease before, so it was just expensed as the payments came out. Well, now some of those would now qualify as a lease to be shown as a liability, so it kind of is a little more transparent in terms of what obligations the city has going on there. So if we jump down to page 11 in the report, you'll be able to see that there's, our non-current liabilities increased quite a bit, and so that includes those lease payables, as well as now we have lease receivables on there. So lease receivables are $223,866. So that is essentially cell tower lease land. So we have those agreements that go out for, I think, another 19 years or so. I think 2041 is when that lease comes up. So we show basically the grossed up, the total amount we're expecting to receive over that lifetime. But then it's offset by a deferred inflow related to those lease receivables. So it has no impact on our operating income, but it does show that, hey, we have this projected flow of cash that we'll be receiving over the year. So that's the newest thing that happened during fiscal 22 that we implemented. And another thing to note is that for this year, we now have a net pension asset in relation to the Utah retirement systems. Last year, we had a net pension liability, and I don't remember exactly what that balance was. I'm scrolling down real quick to find that. But the big swing, the hard part with the Utah retirement system numbers, the net pension asset or liability, it's really based on a lot of estimates done by actuaries, which is based on projected life, the projected lives of the people within the system. So city workers, teachers, everybody that's in the system. So in essence, there is a lot of estimates that go into trying to determine how much cash is going to be needed to pay out those benefits in the future. And when anything in those, among those several estimates changes, that can drastically impact the liability or asset that the city has in relation to that. And so it was kind of a surprise that there was such a big swing. But it is still is kind of expected. So I'm trying to see. And there's about 8 pages of footnotes that talk about this. So if you really want to dig into that, you are free to read through that on a Friday night. If you can't sleep or you just want to stay up and have a party, read through that. It's riveting stuff. I'm really being sarcastic with that.
Really?
Sometimes people can't tell. I get really excited about this stuff. So that there's a big swing there. And the hard part is that change from a liability to an asset also pushes through a huge adjustment to our expenses, which actually was a reduction in expenses. So our expenses at the government-wide level is actually lower than the actual cash we paid out, because there's that actuarial pension adjustment. So it's hard when you're doing trend analysis from year to year. So just know that the effect of that is in there, and you can see the details of that in that note on Utah retirement systems. So yeah, those were kind of the highlight items I wanted to go over. Is there anything in particular you had questions on before we jump into Ron's presentation?
No, I just had a comment on pages 4 and 5, you know, with the pie charts.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be possible in the future to have it to where, you know, you don't just identify the percentages there, but actual numbers, or even give us a context of what number you're taking the percentage from? Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah.
I think, looking through, I kind of found it, maybe. I'm not really sure, but it would be really helpful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it just says percentages.
Yeah, those numbers are primarily coming from the Statement of Activities report, which is going to be on your page 12 of the report.
So I would look at those numbers at the bottom, basically, and then do the percentage that way?
Yeah, there should be some of those. It also includes the sources at the governmental fund level. So it's not super easy to just go and figure out. So I think we could definitely add in the future.
Okay.
We should be able to show the dollar amounts there. And we can make the chart bigger so there's more room to put the dollar amounts on there too.
And I mean, I hope it doesn't create more work, tons more work or anything. But I think for me as a, you know, like lay person looking at this, I'm going to be able to say, oh, this is how much we spent on. Unless if there's a chart somewhere that I could refer to. In the same document.
Right.
No, right?
That's an excellent suggestion.
Probably not.
Anything that makes it easier for everybody to understand what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I'm talking to the public and saying, or they have a question, or I wanted to bring it to a level where they can relate to it, that's just much easier. So thank you.
Well, that makes sense. Excellent.
So are we ready for the presentation?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here with you guys, and especially electronically appreciate the not having the long drive. So thank you so much for being flexible. My name is Ron Stewart. I'm a partner with Gilbert and Stewart CPAs. We were contracted to do the audit for your city for the year. What I'd like to do is just briefly take a couple minutes and kind of tell you what we do as auditors, kind of the tests and the procedures we perform, and what conclusions we have come to. So within a city, we really look at three things. We want to look to make sure that the financial statements that you have in front of you are materially correct, and you can rely upon those numbers. We want to make sure that the internal controls are effective, they've been designed, and they're implemented, and they're working. And then we want to make sure that you're in compliance with state law. So those are kind of our main tasks as we go into your city. How we accomplish that is first one, as far as the financial statements go, we take the trial balance of the city, and we perform a number of tests on those balances to make sure that they're accurate and materially correct. Some of those tests include confirmations. So we'll send out confirmations to third parties to make sure that the balances that you're showing match what they're showing. We send out those confirmations for cash, for accounts receivable, for long-term debt, and then some of the major revenues within your city, mainly the governmental taxes and sales tax and those types. And then also the pension allocations that Steve was talking about earlier. That gives us it's a great way to verify that what we're showing is matching what others are saying. During the course of our audit and our testing, we review a significant number of invoices. We'll pull a random sample at the beginning of the audit, just to kind of see how the city is doing, to make sure that things are matching, to watch the controls to make sure that those are working properly. We'll also pull invoices for capital asset additions. We pull a number of invoices after the end of the year to make sure that the expense is coded in the right period, and also accrued liabilities. And then there's other, you know, areas where we'll say, hey, let's look at this invoice for that as well. So we look at a lot of invoices through the course of the audit. As you've been able to look through the financial statements, there's a lot of balances that are calculated balances that we're making calculations as they're preparing the statements. Accrued payroll, depreciation expense, compensated absences, accrued interest, your pension liabilities. We look at those and then we recalculate those balances, and we'll pull a sample of those and recalculate them to make sure that they're accurate. And then we do a lot of analytical review. At the beginning of the audit, we'll look at the financial statements, the trial balance, and we'll compare it this year to last year, look for trends, look for things that have changed. As we start seeing those, then we start asking questions and design our tests to make sure that we can understand why those changes and what happened. As we're testing the actual balances as well, we do that as, again, to look to make sure as we're testing cash, for instance, we'll make sure that we can understand why a cash balance has changed significantly from the prior year. And then again, at the end of the audit, we do that a third time as we're writing, there's the financial statements and reviewing those to make sure that we, everything that we see on there, we can know what transactions, what happened, and if there's any trends that we've addressed those. Plus a number of other tests that we perform on those balances, but that's kind of a rundown of what we do as auditors to come to that conclusion that those material, that those financial statements are materially correct. If you look on your on the audit package, you can see our independent auditor's report. The very second paragraph, well, the first paragraph opinions, and the second paragraph there, it says, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the respective financial position of the governmental activities, business activities, each major fund, and the aggregate remaining fund information of the Grantsville City as of June 30th, 2022. And then basically that's an unmodified opinion, a clean opinion, or the best opinion that you can receive. So what that basically means is that based on the information that we have, that we feel like you can rely on those financial statements as what really happened within the city. The second thing we do as auditors is to look at the internal controls. We don't necessarily give an opinion on the controls, but we do evaluate those controls to make sure that they're that we've thought through them, that they've been designed properly, that they were actually implemented, and that they're working. And so we do that, we test those, we look at those through questionnaires, through walkthroughs, for interviews. Part of that sample of invoices that we pull at the beginning of the year, we're looking to see if there's proper approvals, if it's matching those controls that we have set up during the year. If there was a significant portion of the city that didn't have a control, or that control just was seriously not working, we would consider that a material weakness. If there are controls that maybe had been designed properly and implemented, but over time it stopped working, we could consider that a significant deficiency. Obviously, if there were any one of those, we would bring that to your attention. And through our testing and through our procedures, we feel like that the controls are within the city are designed well, that they're implemented and they're effectively working. So there's nothing that we would bring to your attention tonight about the controls of the city. We feel like they're doing well. The third area is state compliance. So state auditor has certain areas within the city that they want us to review on an annual, every 3 year and 5 year basis to make sure that the city's in compliance. So they will give us certain areas and procedures to perform. We'll perform those procedures and evaluate those. The very last pages of the audit package is our report on state compliance. The areas that we looked at were budgetary compliance, fund balance, fraud risk assessment, justice court, restricted taxes, government fees, cash management, and Utah retirement systems. So we perform those procedures. We've gone through those tests that the state has asked us to. We didn't find that there was anything that violated compliance. So there's nothing to report as far as findings to you tonight. So we feel like you're in compliance with those areas in state law. So that's kind of a quick review of what we do as auditors and what our conclusions were through Grantsville City. I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding that as well.
Questions?
No questions.
Okay.
Just comments. Thank you so much for taking care of it.
You're very welcome. If I can just shout out to Sherry and to Steve, they do a great job. We throw a lot at them. We ask lots of questions. And they're always quick to respond. They have the answers. They know what's going on in your city, and you guys are in good hands. So kudos to them.
Thank you.
Shout out definitely. Thank you, Sherry and the staff. You guys are amazing.
How many years in a row have we had just like a clean?
Last year I forgot to print 2 pages on a report not written up.
Start it over.
You get a mulligan.
You're awesome. Thank you for all the work you put into
it. Well, it was so accomplishing while you're human. No, I'm just kidding.
I am human. Very human.
But you're wonderful. No, thank you.
Together.
And the thing I think that's just so admirable is it's not just this time of year, it's just constant, and that's the key to this, why we have such an organized financial process. So thank you.
We're a good team that works good together. It's nice energy. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Next is consideration of resolution 2023-01 approving the amendment of the fiscal year budget. This is where Sherry really gets some.
This is the easy part. We did all the hard part in the meeting. So mayor and council members, we did several minor changes and we also added those pre-approved projects into this amended budget. The big major changes that we would want the public to know about is that transfer from the capital project fund to the RDA, the $1 million for the well project. And also adding in that project we got the grant for, it's a really unique opportunity to get $1 million grant. So we'll be extending the water line down Burmester through Vegas Street and also doing a West Street sewer collector line, which it's really exciting to get that much money in a grant. So.
So you did get it.
We got it.
That's great.
We got it. It's in the budget. We're moving forward with the design, so we're pretty excited. It's not very often you get $1 million grant, so.
Yay.
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 Yeah. So did you guys have any questions about the amended budget?
No. I don't have anything. Okay. Need a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the resolution 2023-01, which approves amended 2023 fiscal year budget.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A second by Councilman Jenkins. Any more discussion? Other than my personal thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Take care of this.
Thanks for your support.
Okay. All in favor? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Item 6, consideration of resolution 2023-02 confirming the appointment of Tara Bell as a member of the Grantsville City Library Board.
John wanted to have Tara Bell. She's a fairly new resident to Grantsville. They moved in October of 2021. She and her husband, and they have a cute little girl. But she's been already very active with the library, and so John would like to make her a part of the trustees board.
She'll be great. She's
yeah.
She's a really great person, and also just if anyone's interested, they're always looking for others to be on the Grantsville City Library Board, and it's pretty low key. I mean, I go to the meetings and there's only been like a couple fist fights. And I'm just, no, it's
only because you went.
I'm like, wait a minute, maybe I started.
I think Councilwoman Jenkins, you're not supposed to start the fight.
Oh. Well, it's so quiet at the library. No, it's a good gig. So if you're interested, go see John at the library, and they would love to have you.
They always have a slideshow.
Yes. They do. All right. I move that we approve resolution 2023-02 confirming the appointment of Tara Bell as a member of the Grantsville City Library Board.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor? Motion carries.
Thank you, Council.
Item number seven, consideration of resolution 2023-03, approving the city vacating Cherry Street frontage for 215 South Park Street. Any questions for Holly?
So this is what we talked about in the last meeting. So maybe just help me understand what the reasoning is behind it.
Sure. So you can kind of tell where the tree line is, right up against Cherry Street. I've been maintaining after that tree line, me and the previous owners, forever. So as a property owner, it just seems like if I'm maintaining it and fencing it and all that kind of fun stuff, then to have it included in the parcel. Which the neighboring properties have done.
You mean the neighboring property, which way?
The one on the corner across the street.
But not on the same side of the street, right? Those are all frontage still, right?
Same side of which
like, same side? Like right next door to you, like that's all still, yeah. Like
that one right there that you were just cursed over, that one is. That one's dead.
They haven't vacated that.
No, that's the riding property.
That's totally,
and they didn't. I'm not aware of any on the south side of Cherry Street that are.
Oh, it's just
the north side.
South side.
You're on the south side of Cherry Street.
Yes. Yes.
The south side is not, but the north, some of the north side have been.
So. Now, as we were discussing this, we talked about if we ever needed to make Cherry Street wider, if we vacated that, then we would have to go back and get that and pay you for the land that we just gave away to you. So.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest concern, is that probably at some point we will need to expand Cherry Street and widen it.
And why is that? Right now it's the same as Main Street.
Right, and...
Main Street's 110 feet across.
What is Cherry then?
I have no idea exactly what it is, but it's not 110 feet.
Yeah, because you can get four lanes on Cherry Street.
See, Main Street being the... That's such a unique street. And now Clark Street, because we haven't vacated anything on Clark Street, is the same width as Main Street. But Cherry Street is not, the asphalt there, and it's not the same as Main Street.
So Dan?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Because Cherry Street, it's considered one of, on the street map or whatever it's called, considered a feeder street, or what are they called?
Collector streets.
Collector, I knew it was something. Is it considered a collector street?
That one would be a collector street, and then we are continuing that up through the Cherry subdivisions that are up there on the west bank. And so that street does continue all the way up through that direction. And so we would connect that in with Nye Green as it loops around across that west bank up there.
Because Cherry Street's one of those streets, because we don't have very many streets that feed all the way across, but like, so it's going to be expanded, and so I envision that as we expand it through the Cherry and then it connects over here, that we will make it more of a collector street. I had to make sure I say my words right. Than it is right now, right? So this is...
It is possible to do that if we keep the right of way. I don't, at this point, it's considered a collector. And we're still in the middle of that master plan, so we don't have all those final numbers and things in place at this point.
Okay. And I appreciate you maintaining it, because that's a hard thing, like, well, and especially, like, on Main Street, because there's this, like, people are like, well, that's, is that part of my property? Whose responsibility is it to do this? And, like, Main Street gets messy because it's state road and city and people. And But I appreciate, like, any time, you know, people maintain that for me, because it just makes our town look better. And, like, and it's not something that, you know, you're required to do, because it's not technically your property, but it's just a nice citizen thing to do, so thank you.
So, like, on my street, on Center Street, from where the sidewalk is, quite a ways up into that sector, his property has easements through it, has utilities, all sorts of things, and I just maintain it because it doesn't look right.
The city does actually have a code that says that the property owner is supposed to maintain the sidewalk in front of the property and that area.
So you always find out that there's laws that you're following.
A lot of people in Grantsville feel like it's not their property, they should have to take care of it, but actually they are supposed to be taking care of it. And we do appreciate when they do take care of it out there to the street, because it makes it look so much nicer.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't have sidewalk on the, from Ridings East, doesn't have sidewalk, right? Until we get to Hale. That stretch, I don't think there is.
Going east? Yeah, there's...
Going west off of Park Street, I thought they had sidewalk going across there.
There's sidewalk on both sides of it.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
In front of Casks and everybody?
Yeah.
Ridings and...
I don't think we had sidewalk. I don't see.
So I guess my questions are, so are you putting a stop to everyone ever being able to vacate on that street? Because if not, then people are going to continue to ask for this.
So my advice would be, you can't predict what you or any future city council will do on a vote. So, you know, you can provide advice regarding to this one, but don't commit the city to anything for the future.
Okay. Right. Council. Okay. Any other questions, comments? All right. We need to get a motion.
I've been making all the motions tonight, guys.
Sure.
All right. I move that we deny resolution 2023-03 approving the city vacating Cherry Street frontage for 215 South Park Street.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Councilman Bevel. Any more discussion?
Why
I am making that motion is because it is a collector street, and from my understanding in our previous discussion, like if we were going to need to widen it, we would do it on that side, because in previous meetings, like the other side street, they have approved some properties, right? So the only way for us to widen this street when we need to would be to go on this in that direction without. And so for me, I would say let's plan for that, because it is growing and we are planning on this to be a collector road. So, you know, rather than put obstacles in our way for when we need to do that, let's just plan for it right now.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Just a follow-up on attorney's advice. So that's in line with what your advice was, right?
Yeah.
As far as the explanation. We're not exactly projecting.
No, no. What you're saying is what your reasoning for your vote is tonight.
Okay.
That's what you need to do.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Comments? All in favor? Okay. All opposed? Okay. Roll call vote. Councilwoman Allen.
Yay.
Yay.
Councilman Jenkins.
Yay.
Nay.
Okay. Yays have it, the yeses have it, so thank you all. All right, next order of business is council reports. Give us a rundown of the trip?
No.
Okay.
No need. I have nothing today, Mayor.
Okay. Councilman Bowden.
The Historical and Preservation Commission is meeting next Wednesday. Part of our discussion will be the book that Marilyn Nelson is writing. See what kind of participation or distribution, I guess, they want to get involved in with that. I believe some of the permit applications have been finished for the grant money, but I'm not positive on that. And beautification committee has been inactive until after this year.
Very good. Councilman Jenkins.
All right.
No slideshows.
I do have handouts. But just as a point of interest, that it was a year ago yesterday that we got sworn in, Councilman Bevan and the mayor and I. So it's been an awesome year so far. So thank you to city and to city council members and everyone for making it so awesome. As far as things going on, youth council, we've got, like, at our next meeting, I will give a report on our day at the Capitol that's coming up on January 18th. And so hopefully that's kind of when the youth council was born, because the mayor and I saw all those youth councils and said Grantsville needs to have this.
And we got just as many, if not cooler, kids than that.
Huh? Oh, we definitely got cooler kids. But
there's a name for that day. What is it? Is it the local?
It's the
government?
Oh, and that's it's yeah. Local. What is it? Local
Government's Day.
Not Government Day. Okay. At the Capitol.
And you have a youth council to bring up?
Yep, we do. Okay. So and anyone who wants to can come hang out with us.
That'd be cool.
And then for the Summer of Fun Committee, I'm looking at a calendar, and I'm hoping to have a meeting this month and get the ball rolling for this coming up summer, because we're going to have a lot of fun and more slideshows to come. But, and so...
Just for Darren.
Yeah.
Give me those dates so I can plan.
Sick that day. But if anyone's interested in being part of the Summer of Fun, I learned a lot this past summer, and I've got some ideas of how to be more effective and do it better. So, but we had a really fun committee, and we would love the more the merrier on that. And then the last thing, if you're interested, this is just a rough draft, but I need to run it by Jesse and the mayor. But I've been talking with Lieutenant Sagers about coming up with a slow down campaign, because, you know, like, that's just a chronic complaint we hear, like, people are speeding down my road, people are hitting my house, things like that. And so we're going to start with we're going to start with just start with a campaign and start it at the high school level. And so we talk about hosting a campaign contest and have them come up with our campaign, like with the slogan and the ads and everything. And then we'll roll that out to the city. So I've got these, and I'll give them to the people to approve of before we get going too fast. Well, we're not going to go very fast. We're going to go nice and slow. And so, anyway, that's all I've got.
That's a little weird.
I'm not going to take any punches of Brady now.
I didn't.
People's houses?
Kind of person? I didn't indicate her.
Well, maybe she was speaking of a different house.
It's the ones up in Michael.
Right, Brady.
Thank you.
As well, thank you everybody, and looking forward to the coming year. It'll be fun, and the summer of fun, and all of the things that are happening right now. There's a lot of good things that are coming, so appreciate y'all. Keep your same spots. Good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I would like to go into a closed session real quick, okay?
Okay. Mayor, okay.
Go ahead.
I move that we go into closed session.
Second.
All in favor? This should be very clear.